All right, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14. We're going to get rain? It's going to rain? That'd be great. Ephesians 6:14. All right, Ephesians 6:14. Wow. People are moving around and I'm very confused. All right, Ephesians 6:14. So this morning we will start dealing with the actual armor of God. And the first one is the loins girt about with truth. He says this, Ephesians 6:14, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." And that's what we'll cover this morning. Gird with the truth, gird with the truth. But let's pray, and then we will get started. Father, thank you for your words. Lord, thank you for everybody that's here this morning. I pray you would bless each soul for being here. I pray you'd feed your flock. I pray that if there's folks here that aren't saved, that today would be the day of their salvation and understand their need for Jesus Christ and get saved. Pray for the teachers in the back, Father, that you'd fill them with your Holy Spirit and be able to minister to the kids. And Father, just help us to grow. We need help. We are very needy people, and Lord, I think we don't really even realize how much we need help, and I pray that you'd help us this morning. Thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ, and thank you for saving my soul and those that are here, Lord. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so he starts off about the armor of God, to put on the whole armor of God in verse 11. And so that's a responsibility of a Christian. It's not something that automatically happens. It's something you got to do. That armor, the Bible says, is mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So it's able to, like we talked about last week, you know, the devil will try to establish a stronghold in your life, and whether he does, well, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So whatever ground he's gained can be lost if a Christian will put on the armor of God. However, if a Christian doesn't put on the armor of God, then they'll lose ground and the devil will gain access in areas of your life that you don't want him to, and hopefully you don't want him anywhere, but he'll gain access, and then from those points of strongholds, from those areas of access, he'll gather up other areas of access. That's warfare. You know, you take property, and the point of that is to set up shop there and be able to take more property. And so the instruction is put on the whole armor of God. And the first thing he deals with in the armor of God is the truth. And I've heard it called the belt of truth, or it's just the loins girt about with truth. It's, I think the reason you start with that, warfare is essentially deception. It is camouflage, it is spying, it is, if you're far away from the enemy, you want to appear close to the enemy. If you're close to the enemy, you want to appear far away from the enemy. If you've infiltrated the enemy, you want to appear like you haven't. It's deception is what it is. Warfare is deception, and so it's the process by which the devil takes ground is through lies. That's how the whole thing starts. You go back to the Garden of Eden. The first thing the devil said was he gave Eve a lie, and from that lie he took some territory. And he took a lot of ground from that. And so the stakes are high, a lot higher than maybe we think they are. A lot higher than we can see that they are, put it that way. We usually don't observe the consequences of a lie until long way down the road. And then you realize, I've been living this thing I thought was true, or I hoped it was true, and it's made my life a mess. I've gone by my how I felt about a situation rather than submitting these thoughts to the Holy Spirit of God, and now all these thoughts that were my own thoughts have come home to roost, so to speak. So the process by which God gives you and me the ability to bear fruit in this life and in the Christian life, and the process by which he gives you and I to live an abundant life is, first of all, the truth. He says, put on the whole armor of God, gird yourself with the truth. So here's a couple of ways this happens. God gives you the truth, or gives me the truth. You and I say, okay, I believe that. And then you ignore all the other voices that diminish the truth. Because as soon as you get the truth, you're going to be hit with a whole mass of other voices that diminish what you just heard. I mean, easy ones, you know, the routine of day-to-day stuff like that, and the radio, the TV, the friends, the... As soon as you're confronted with the truth, you'll be hit with other voices that try to make that truth not really as important as it really is. And so, but if the process would be, you say, "All right, Lord, here's a guy that you're talking to." I'll give you an example. How many of you guys have ever talked to someone about the Lord and? Maybe a friend, maybe somebody else, or you're trying to have a good, meaningful conversation about, maybe it's not salvation, maybe it's just something that needs to be corrected in someone's life. And there are distractions, there's friends, there's somebody's got to go somewhere, somebody's got to, there's all these other demands on their life. And what that is diminishing, a lot of times, diminishing the truth that's trying to go out, and making that truth not as important, but making every other thing more urgent than the truth. So all these other voices have much more urgency than this truth. Well, the truth is what's going to change your life. But if the devil can kind of make that truth not as important, then the life won't ever be changed. I mean, does that make sense? That's a process you could probably have seen happen. Another process, maybe, you know, that the God gives someone the truth. Someone says, "Okay, well, I don't really care about that truth. I'm, you know, for whatever reason, you know, you just don't care." Apathy towards the truth will yield a life just lived by lies. The devil will gain ground there and live in that world there. The point is, whatever the enemy uses to diminish the truth, it really doesn't make any difference what he uses. His point is, when you hear the truth, you hear the truth from the words of God, you hear the truth, his point is to make that truth not as important as it really is, or to make other demands more important on your life than what you've heard. Because he understands this. The reality is, the truth, Jesus Christ said this, he says, "Ye shall know the truth," and what? "It will make you free." All right, so if your enemy understands that, then his goal, however he wants to do it, however he can do it in your life, he will do it, is to make you unable or unwilling or unyielding to the truth. Whether you don't hear the truth, you're never exposed to it, or whether when you hear it you don't care about it, or whether when you hear it you do care about it, but then all this other stuff comes in and says, you know, this isn't as important as that. The whole goal is to keep the truth out of your life. All right, so the first thing, because going back to the idea here, warfare is deception. It's camouflage, it's spying, appear one way when you're not this way, appear to be moving in a direction you're not moving, appear to put all your troops in one area when you're really putting them in another area. It's all deception. It's games. And so if the devil can get you to stick to the lie and avoid the truth, he's got all the territory. He owns the territory then. All right, so here's some attacks. Here's the way I'll give you some attacks from the devil. We'll start with the negative side of this thing first here. The devil wants you to believe that truth is individual. You guys have probably heard people say it nowadays, it's my truth. You know, well, that's your truth, or that's my truth. There's no such, that's not true. That's not a true statement. Truth is not an individual, it's not individual unless it's Jesus Christ. He is the truth. But truth is not individual to you. And the devil wants you to believe, and me to believe, we are the exception to every rule God gave. That God said this, but that's not my truth. Now, we wouldn't say that. The world would use that phrase, you know, my truth. Well, that's my truth. And we would look at him and say, well, you know, those folks are just, they've gone off the deep end. They're crazy. How can any people think like that? And then as Christians, we get confronted with the truth, and then we say, well, you know, here's why I'm the exception to that rule. I mean, it's essentially the same philosophy. That's the philosophy the world took. My truth. The devil wants you to believe truth is an individual thing. The devil wants you to believe you're obeying God when you're not obeying God. I mean, if your desire is to obey God, then the devil's desire is to make you think you're obeying God when you're not obeying God. So he wants you to believe a certain thing that's not true so that you'll never be in the blessing, you'll never be yielded, you'll never be fruitful the way God wants you to be fruitful. So the devil wants you to believe you're obeying God when you're not. The devil wants you to believe that the pursuit of pleasure is the pursuit of God. And that the world has that one pretty much they've got that one. But if we just pursue pleasure, how we feel about it, and play games and all that kind of stuff all our lives, we can serve God, and we'll do all that too. And the devil wants you to believe that and keep believing it so that you live your life like the Israelites. The Bible says they ate, drank, they rose up to play, and they did their own thing, and none of them were serving God for 40 years in the wilderness. So the devil wants you to believe the pursuit of pleasure is the pursuit of God. The devil wants you to believe that acknowledging truth is going to cause you more problems than just acknowledging the error. How many times in your life has the Lord... maybe sermon, maybe Sunday school, maybe, I don't know, you hear some preaching, and just as an example, the Lord touches your heart, he speaks to you, and he points out something, and he says, all right, now, this is something we need to address here in your life. And maybe you could go forward to the altar, or maybe you just sit in your chair, whatever the case may be. Your first thought is, Lord, if I do that, I mean, this is going to come with a lot of problems if I do that. And that's the way the devil will frame that thing. If I obey the truth, this is going to cause more problems in my life than if I just keep doing what I'm doing. The fact of the matter, the truth of the matter is, if you follow a lie, you will have more problems. Maybe not in this life, but for the rest of your life, you put this thing in perspective, in an eternal perspective, you follow a lie, the pain will be much more significant than if you follow the truth. But the devil wants to frame it as the truth is very inconvenient to you. You really don't want to make that decision. You really don't want to follow that pursuit because it's going to be more inconvenient to the way you're living, and it's going to really, you know, it just puts demands on my life that I don't want. Well, if you follow a lie, the devil will put demands on your life that you don't want. And if you string that thing out into eternity, you watch the world follow lies. And like he said in Psalms, Asaph said in Psalms, he said, I watch the wicked, they pursue their pleasures, they have seem like they have everything in the world, and then I went to the house of God, and then I considered their end. And then I watched the end of that thing, and then I realized, you know what, they really don't have what I thought they had. But the devil had convinced them, and will convince Christians and us, that pursuing truth and yielding to the truth is more inconvenient than actually just living your life. Hey, just keep you living your life. And the goal is, with the Lord, is not to just know the truth. He said, put on the whole armor of God. It's to do something with it. It's to, and I guess when he says know it, it's like I've experienced the truth. I'm experiencing the truth. So the devil has these, there's some attacks here. This is kind of the way he wants, I mean, some of the ways he wants you and I to believe about the truth. He'll give you a perspective that the truth is uncomfortable. All right, look in Ephesians. You're in Ephesians, look in chapter 4, verse 21. I'll give you some verses for these things. Went over them, now I'll give you some verses for them here. All right, Ephesians 4:21. He said, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the what? Deceitful lusts. That's lies. That's when the body says this is pleasure. God says, be careful, that may not be what you think it is. There may be more to this than just the feeling associated with it right now. This may have greater consequences than just how you feel in the moment here. And so he says deceitful lusts. So the body itself is deceitful. It says things to you that aren't true. You have thoughts that you think are right thoughts, and I have thoughts that I think are right thoughts, and I think they originate with me. A lot of times they originate with the body, and the body says this, and that's why it's so important to take those thoughts. He says in 2 Corinthians, we'll look at it, but 2 Corinthians, to take those thoughts and put them in submission to Jesus Christ, because you don't know where they came from a lot of times, and they feel like your thoughts. And they just kind of go with the flow, and they just kind of match with everything else going on, and you just, you know, hey, well, why don't we do this? Well, why don't we do that? Well, why don't we pursue this? Why don't we pursue that? And it feels like you're just thinking your own thoughts. But the Lord points out that old man is deceitful. All right? So I'll give you a perspective that the truth is uncomfortable. So any deviation from what the old man wants, the flesh, the old man's going to say, hey, we can't do that. I mean, that's going to hurt us. We can't go after that. That's going to hurt us. That's going to put a damper on our schedule here. That's going to really hurt how much fun we're having in here. And like he said in Hebrews about Moses, he said Moses chose to identify with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And there are pleasurable, but for a season. It doesn't tell you the end of the whole thing. All right, so deceitful lust. The devil will give you perspective that the truth is uncomfortable. I tell you, there's a lot of examples of all this stuff. If... got several notes here. I'm trying to figure out where to go with it. If your feelings are at stake, a lot of times, and you need to remember, or all the time, need to remember, all right, is this thought submitted to Jesus Christ, or is it not submitted to Jesus Christ? Even more so, how about this, when our kids' feelings are at stake, or grandkids' feelings are at stake. I mean, then there's more emotion tied to the thing, and then it's harder to take those thoughts and yield them to Jesus Christ. Why? Because there's so much more emotion tied to it. So you understand the pull one versus the other. When God's trying to get the truth in, and the old man's saying, the flesh is saying, well, that's not, it doesn't make me feel good when I say something like that, or when we do something like that. Don't make me feel good to act that way, or whatever. But the point is, the devil wants to give you a perspective and me a perspective that the truth is going to end up more uncomfortable than just keep living the lie I'm living. All right, the other thing is this, another one. The devil will give you the perspective that the truth is too common. Look at Isaiah chapter 59, trying to hit some of the negative side and then get to the positive side at the end here. All right, Isaiah 59. How many times have you heard the truth spoken by somebody you didn't particularly care for? Or somebody you knew the history of, and that got in the way. It's like, preaching the Bible, but, you know, I knew him back when. What is that? That's the truth that's too common. It's coming out of somebody's mouth who's too common. They're like me. They're no different than me. Well, okay, set that aside. Is this true, or is it not true? All right, so here's Israel, Isaiah 59 and verse 12, because that gives you a good context here. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us, for our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord, there you go, there's the opposite of the truth. In transgressing and lying against the Lord, and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Our truth has become like trash. It just fell in the ground, you know, and people walked over it and ran over it, and it became so common, or at least it looked so common, that it was ignored as truth. And that's the way the devil wants to frame the thing. This thing is so common. How could this have any value at all? When Jesus Christ in Matthew, I'll just quote it to you. But in Matthew chapter 13, one of the places he had the hardest time ministering. Anybody remember where it was? His hometown, yeah. You know why that was? You know why they didn't believe? They knew him. You're just a carpenter's son. We watched you grow up. How can you be anything special? We watched you grow. We watched you chop wood. How are you the savior of the world? We knew you when you were like that. Too common. That's the way the devil thinks about that thing. And that's the way he wants you to think about it. Hey, Jesus said, he said, and they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. Why? They're too familiar with him. Truth is just falling in the street. What can you possibly bring to the table? I mean, we knew you when you were you were just running around in diapers. You're not nobody. You chop wood for your dad. You cut wood. You're a carpenter, man. You're nothing special. But all of those thoughts are the devil's thoughts. That's not God's thoughts. God didn't think anything like that. He put his son in a specific place. He grew him up a certain way, probably out of any kind of wealthy environment or anything like that. He's just a working guy till he's 30 years old. Not just working, but submitting to the Lord and working. I mean, it's not just a carpenter. He's submitting to the Lord. He's learning by 12 years old. He's teaching in the temple. But the point is, truth, we became so familiar. It was right in front of their face, but how can we believe that? That's the devil's thoughts. Truth is too common. So people close to it begin to nitpick. You get so close to it, you just begin to nitpick it. Well, you know, I remember when Mary was changing your diapers. what do you do with that? Well, you take that thought and say, okay, that's a perspective the devil has on it, but that's not God's perspective on this. God's taking a man so he can save mankind. And that man has to be a man in all form, in all sense. He's got to be born a man. He's got to grow up a man. He's got to be a man. He's got to be yielded to temptation or confronted with temptation yet not sinning. So he's got to experience life as a man in all its experiences. But then, you know, people close to him nitpick. And that's like I said, you get the point. The devil wants to make truth more common than it is. Or he wants you to minimize the truth because it looks too common. The devil wants to give you a perspective that truth is individual. We saw that one. Here, I'm going to show you one in the Old Testament. Look in 2 Chronicles chapter 13. 2 Chronicles chapter 13. And verse 9. All right, here is the devil's lie that truth is individual, or that you trusting God or worshiping God is on your terms. Now watch this. 2 Chronicles 13:9 says, "Have ye not cast out the priests of the Lord, the sons of Aaron, and the Levites, and have made you priests after the manner of the nations of other lands? So that whosoever cometh to consecrate himself with a young bullock and 7 rams, the same may be a priest of them that are no gods." So if you pay your money, you bring in the sacrifice, we'll make you a priest. And you'll become a priest. And you'll be able to minister in the way that we got out the old guard. We got out the priests, the Levites. We got them all flushed out. And now it's you know, you come with the right amount of money and with the right amount of sacrifice, and you can be a priest too. This was a religion that set up that people lived by. It's not like it was. This is how people thought, that you know, I'm serving God. We're religious. Yeah, we go to church. You just created this church out of nothing. There's no substance to it. There's no truth to this thing. It's a complete lie. God has nothing to do with these sacrifices. The point is, the devil will give you the perspective that truth is individual. You know, to the world, you know, it's my truth, it's my identity, it's my feelings, it's my thoughts. Those are all real to me. That's what the world says. These things are real to me. It may not be real to you, but you need to accept them because they're real to me. Well, that's not true. I mean, you may feel something associated with those thoughts, but those thoughts aren't true thoughts. For the Christian, my truth is, you know, what I call worship is worship. How I do worship is worship. How I obey is obedience. Whatever I'm doing is obedience. whatever I'm, you know, however I'm living my life is pleasing to God. Because here's the reality of our situation. Every man is right in his own eyes. I'm sitting here telling you about truth. Every single one of you here, including me, thinks what we believe is right. What God said is, be careful, and here's the guidelines for right. So take all your thoughts and put them under the guidelines for what's right, and if they match, then that's right. If they don't match, that's not right. But every single one of us think what we think is right. And that's just the way we're going to be. It's the way we'll always be. But God said, be careful. Here's a way to actually judge those thoughts so that you don't live by all those thoughts and just keep going on thinking everything I think is right. All right? So those are some things about the enemy's attack. The point is, of all that, the devil will start with a lie. God's trying to get the truth in, and not just that you have a head knowledge of the truth, but that you will experience the truth. That you'll know it, it'll make you free. It's not just, you know, I mentally understand the truth, but I now know the truth. I've experienced the truth. So the devil's point is, don't get the truth there. However we do it, make sure people are living deceived. All right, now here's the positive side. We've already talked about the power of the truth, the mighty power of the truth. He said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So this is the thing that takes people from a life of bondage to a life of liberty, where they are taken out of the snare of the devil and now able to live a fruitful and productive life in Jesus Christ. And the way that starts is the truth. You got to get the truth. All right, here's a couple other things. Truth not only frees you, but it makes you fruitful in the Lord. Look in John chapter 17. John chapter 17. John 17, verse 17. All right, so if you can picture it, it's like this. The devil takes a piece of ground, sets up shop with the lie, and here comes the truth. The truth plows that ground, destroys the devil's shop, and now makes that ground fit for something productive to grow in it. All right, John chapter 17, verse 17. He says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctify is like set apart. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself. I set myself apart. I keep myself clean. Those kinds of things that Jesus Christ praying. That they also might be sanctified through the truth. So, mighty through God, the truth is mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Plowed down whatever the headquarters the devil had there. Now we're going to create a field that's going to be able to be planted for the Lord now. The Lord can bear some fruit in this place. So the truth not only frees up the land, it gives an opportunity to produce living fruit that God wants to produce. All right, another thing. Here's some of the fruit it will produce. Look in 3 John, verse 4. Walking in truth produces joy. All right, 3 John, verse 4. Joy, all right, here's the connection. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit, right? love, joy, peace, all that. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. It's not an accomplishment of the world. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Joy is produced from walking in truth. You'll see the connection here. 3 John verse 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. So to watch, John's verse is pretty self-explanatory. So the production of fruit is directly associated with someone walking in the truth. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. You say, all right, well, I want the Holy Spirit to produce love and joy and peace in my life. All right, well, here's how that's produced. John watches his children, his spiritual children, walking in truth, and that directly in his life produces joy. Now you can say, I mean, it produces, if God had it written down, it produces joy in God's life. Joy being the fruit of the Spirit produces joy in the Spirit, produces joy in heaven. What did the Lord Jesus Christ say? He said, you know, when a sinner repents, you know, the angels rejoice and all that stuff. It produces joy when people walk in truth. That's the connection. All right, it's mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds and then creating a fruitful abundance of crop for the Lord to and you to enjoy. Walking in truth produces the fruit of the Spirit, which is joy. One of them. And here's another interesting verse. Here's one. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And then we'll wrap it up with a responsibility in the truth here. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And verse 8. All right, 2 Corinthians 13, 8. This is a short little verse, but very, very interesting. 2 Corinthians 13, 8. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. Now, the appearance is that people can do things against the truth. The reality is, there are no lies in heaven. There's no, when Jesus Christ renovates, renews everything, falsehood is eradicated, lies are eradicated, and what happens is the truth is shown and lived out, and anything, I guess, people thought they got away with, you don't get away with it, and maybe you thought that you could do something against the truth, but you really can't. So that verse, along with another verse in 2 Corinthians about the weapons of our warfare, the point of all that, we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. Eventually, the truth wins out. Eventually, every sin is judged. Eventually, there's no more lies. And so that's the power of the truth. I guess you could put that with things we're talking about, what the devil tries to convince people of. But you can do nothing against the truth but for the truth. The more people fight against the truth, I mean, I think you can even observe it in this life. The more people fight against the truth, the more it proves itself. The more people want to take what God said and pervert it to something else, the more it proves out that, you know what, the way God said it was the right way. That was the way to do it. We can do nothing against the truth. All right, so the truth is a powerful thing. It produces joy. It pulls down the strongholds. It gives God an opportunity to work in an area. And so what's our responsibility to it? Here's a couple things. All right, he said, put on the whole armor of God. You and I have a responsibility to these couple things. I'll just give them to you quickly. You and I have a responsibility to allow the truth to look at our lives. Remember, we said all of our thoughts, we think are right thoughts. Let me give you one verse here. Look in John chapter 3. Look at this one. John chapter 3, verse 20. You and I have a responsibility to allow the truth to look at our lives. John chapter 3, verse 20. I'll try to get through this quick here. All right, John 3:20. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. So have a willingness to allow the truth to observe your thoughts, observe your actions, and then conform those thoughts and actions, or submit those thoughts and actions to the Lord. If they're of God, then okay. If they're not of God, then they're not of God. But people won't do that because they don't want to be examined. You don't want your life to be examined, so you don't come to the truth because you don't want your life to be examined. But we have a responsibility to allow the truth to look at our lives. We have a responsibility to speak the truth. I'll just read some of these to you. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25. A responsibility to speak the truth. 2 Timothy 2, 25. This is pretty interesting here. Verse 24 for the context. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. I'll watch the last verse. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. All right, so the only difference between the devil running your life and God running your life is the truth. So if you're not adhering to the truth, the difference is God's not running your life, and the devil has free rein to run things the way he sees fit. So he says, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. So the truth is the thing that makes the difference, and it's our responsibility, if you got the truth, and you do, to speak the truth. All right, and then you're in 2 Timothy 4:4, responsibility to listen to the truth. 2 Timothy 4:4, they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. The next time you're confronted with the truth, just remember that if you don't believe the truth, what you are going to believe is a fable. Turned from the truth to a fable. There's not a middle opportunity. Here's the truth, here's something else, and here's a lie. Here's the truth, I don't want the truth, okay, I'm turned to this lie now. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Maybe because you want to hear fables, I don't know. Maybe because that's what people would rather listen to. But the point is, you have a responsibility to listen to the truth, and then you have a responsibility to live out the truth. Lastly, I'll read this one to you. 1 Timothy 3:14 says, these things I write unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. So Paul writes to Timothy. He says, I want to be there. I can't be there. But here's the guidelines for living out and behaving in the church of God, which is the pillar and ground of the truth. How you ought to behave, how you ought to live out the truth. All right, so those are some responsibilities. There's the power of the truth, and then you saw the attack.